Hawk's Nest has been on air for 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, actually since last Sunday, covering this Oregon thing. So don't worry about it. Scratch your balls. Say whatever you want. There's no language restrictions on my channel. Anyway. So we get through all this.
It's funny you should mention about the language restrictions, because I was just thinking this morning, like when I woke up out of bed, like first thing I thought was, man, I really need to talk to Hawk about FCC regulations on Rev Radio, because I was just wondering about this, like, what's freedom of speech without the ability to use your entire language?
You know. Well.
But it all concerns the audience and stuff like that. And I was just kind of like questioning to myself, like, do more people listen if you're able to swear and stuff like that? You know how a lot of people watch The Walking Dead and Game of Thrones, and it's real violent and it's got like horrible language and stuff like that, and it's really popular. I was just wondering about like that. Is the truth movement self-censoring needlessly? Like, what if we took the brakes off? Would it make the movement more popular, or would it make us more hated as broadcasters?
I'm running both of the stations out here on micro broadcast about 85 miles on FM radio,
and what? They're all done by FCC regulation, so you're bound.
I can't broadcast on FM 80 miles out with this transmitter, unless, you know, because when you sign up for the license, that's just the way it is.
Yeah. Radio producing folks, it's actually a tough job. Very, very few people can do it. Very few people can be radio show hosts and that kind of thing. So it's a tough job, and there's a lot of ins, outs, and what have yous. And the one thing that really pisses me off most, Hawk, is when people criticize me and tell me how to do things or whatever when they've never done it before in their lives. And I wouldn't dare to presume to do that to you.
Wow, you're living my life. Everybody criticizes everything I do all the time, all every day. I'm considered the big, angry, don't wake him up, don't call him at night. Big giant asshole. So anyway, yeah.
I work fucking 16 hours a fucking day, and I need to sleep sometime, and you the network sometimes goes down while I'm doing that important thing called sleep. Yeah. So sorry about that, everybody. Sorry.
Exactly. That's what I'm doing. But anyway, so let's move on into the actuality of what's going on. So anyway, we have this Oregon standoff. We have Pete Santilli sitting there in there, and everything that he generally does, and I know Eamon Bundy, Ryan Bundy personally, I've talked to them. They don't talk to them. If you look at the videos, he asks them questions. They're like, anyway. And he's in there hollering, screaming, and railing, and trying to start some trouble, and I'm getting exhausted at it. We sent our own guy in there today, but the problem is Pete Santilli seems to get a free rein to get his signal out to do his broadcasting and all his agent provocateur stuff, but everyone else that goes in there cannot seem to get a signal out. And, you know, that was kind of the question I was asking you the other day. I really think there's something wrong with this, and you know why.
Well, I do. I consider myself and Suzanne Puzzle from Occupy Corporatism the two leading authorities on the scumbaggery of Pete Santilli, and it's been going on for quite a few years now. Basically, in mid-2013, Pete Santilli came on the American Freedom Radio Network, and then he did a couple of an interview with, I think, Jim Fetzer, and had Judy Wood over his shoulder. Basically, that it was the worst interview I've ever heard. It was just terrible. It was made more terrible by the fact that Pete Santilli actually recorded Jim Fetzer off air swearing and going, "What the fuck are you doing, man?" And you know, that kind of thing. Recorded all the little kind of. If you're a professional broadcaster, the mask comes off when you go into a break, and you can be more honest. And it's it's incredibly unscrupulous to record those off-air conversations. Pete Santilli records everything, and he published that as well. And that's what got him, as a Marine, Semper fired from American Freedom Radio. He then goes on to the Rents Radio Network. Allegedly, he has to pay for that. He'd threatened to shoot Hillary Clinton in the vagina during one particular broadcast, and that got him a visit by the Secret Service. Soon thereafter, he wound up being the media spokesperson for the Truckers Ride for the Constitution with Zeta Andrew. So he comes in and he goes... Oh, wait, actually, let me back up. In between that, just before Pete Santilli got fired from AFR, me and Suzanne Poser wanted to go into, a project with him to do Guerrilla Media, which is my company and my concept, and that I started in 2008, guerrillamedia.co.nz. So Pete Santilli then...
I remember because at the time we were also broadcasting AFR in our off hours, and I remember when you were setting up Guerrilla Media. So I am a witness to that.
And so right after, maybe a day or two after our initial conversation, I recorded that conversation, by the way, as well, but I said some things that I don't want the public to know about my my former producer, which he then informed me about maybe even a couple of years later, and I realized how terrible that is to actually have that out there for him, because I'm about integrity and finesse and being classy and that kind of thing. More or less the opposite of everything that is Pete Santilli. So I have taken that one down, and I'm planning to edit another version of it later on. However, directly after that conversation where I gave him the entire concept of the control structure, command, and methodology of creating the organization Guerrilla Media, which is a multimedia platform where people can freely contribute, that kind of thing, and count on support from everyone else when they fall under attack, whether they be government agents, etc. Like a phalanx, you protect the man to your left, and therefore you become an impenetrable wall of shields to protect each other, yeah? So the very next day, Pete Santilli starts off GuerrillaMediaNetwork.com and then calls Suzanne Posel and said that I'd completely bummed out of the project and I didn't want to do it anymore and I wanted to give it to him. And Suzanne was like, that doesn't make any sense. This is like Vinny's life work and stuff like that. And it was then that she realized that he's a really bad person. This is when he got involved in the Truckers Ride for the Constitution. So he goes in. They give him access to their Facebook account, their PayPal account. Their PayPal account had estimated between $50,000 and $150,000, allegedly. We don't have the exact numbers of how much money was in there. But what we do know is that a million trucks were supposed to be coming into Washington, D.C. from all around the country. And
hey, hold on. At the time, I had access to the same account, never touched it, but there was $41,392. I remember that because I reported it when it all disappeared.
Yes, just a little under 50,000. That's actually good because you're the first source that's actually confirmed the exact amount that was in there. Thank you for that. So let's say $41,000. And after Pete Santilli was given the access to that account and access to the Facebook account, the money disappeared, and then Pete Santilli went on radio saying that it was Zeta Andrews that stole the money, said that she was a drug dealer and a crackhead and so on and so forth. And then the name of the Constitution, Truckers Ride for the Constitution Facebook page, which had 200,000 likes, got changed to Guerrilla Media Network Facebook page with 200,000 likes. Okay?
Right, and we brought him over here and gave him a radio show.
You know, he's got a great radio voice, doesn't he? You know? He sounds really fantastic until you scratch the surface and you see the rot underneath.
What I'm saying is I gave Zeta a radio show, but it was too late.
Yeah, it was too late for me to get Guerrilla Media back. It was too late for Zeta to get the Truckers Ride for the Constitution back. But it's not, I repeat, ladies and gentlemen, it is not too late to thwart him in his efforts in Oregon, okay? If people become informed about who this person is, why he does what he does, and that they should not trust him, certainly shouldn't have him as their fucking media spokesperson, shouldn't be within state boundaries, right? The guy should be banned from the area. I mean, I was joking on off air with a couple of people earlier that the only real, shall I say, a great envelope to close off this case would be if one of the militia people there or something like that actually executed him. Okay, then this whole problem gets solved and it's gone forever. I do not wish death on anybody. All I know is that would be that's the only way I can see that where Pete Santilli would be stopped. He's been stopped by police in Ohio carrying a weapon without a concealed carry permit in a car, which you can't even do when you do have a concealed carry permit, with ammunition in the chamber. You're not allowed to do that, even with a concealed carry permit, with extra with a couple of extra clips, and you're not allowed to do that even with a concealed carry permit. And now this is Ohio law, and so each of those strikes that I mentioned there come with a minimum sentence of 1 year imprisonment, up to 5 years each. And myself and a number of others have concluded the average sentence for somebody caught, as Pete Santilli was caught, would be 5 to 10 years imprisonment mandatory. Now, the next day after...
But the point being is that we noticed that Pete Santilli served nothing,
now,
right?
May I elaborate on that? The very next day, and I have the screenshots here in front of me to verify this, the very next day he gets out on $0 bail, released on his own recognizance, and his disposition, quote-unquote, ignored. That means the charges were waived. They were dropped for some reason. Now, the local news... Channel 12 in Cincinnati has in fact done a story on this because they're very confused as to why somebody who was allegedly on the terror watch list, who was allegedly holding loaded firearms with extra clips in a car illegally concealed, got off not only within 24 hours, but for $0 bail and have all the charges dropped. They don't know why that is. I know why that is, because I went and found a fax that Pete Santilli sent to the FBI, which was leaked online by the Anonymous group. Now, there's been a lot of accusations by people who are, for lack of a better word, fucking retarded, that this was a forgery, right? That for some reason, I'm such a Photoshop genius, that I could just make up the name of the head of the FBI Cybersecurity Task Force. I could make up the fax number for the FBI field office in Sacramento that apparently I had the third highest vocabulary in my entire high school. The number and the people above me were the A-plus students of the entire high school. Now, apparently, I can't spell the word compromised. I can't tell the difference between going to somewhere and something being too far away. You know how you spell to with one O or two O's depending on it. There are a lot of like little indicative spelling mistakes and grammar mistakes and things like that, which me, personally, I never make because I'm really good at that kind of thing. Now, apparently, I'm smart enough to dumb myself down to that point and have the most elaborate Photoshop document in history. So elaborate is it that it's not a Photoshop document. Like, we tried. My friend Roy does the images and stuff like that for the Vinnie Eastwood show, pro bono. He actually helped to design the murals at the Olympic pavilion for the New Zealand team at the London Olympics, right? That's how talented a person he is, and he loves my show, and he does some volunteer work for me, making images and things like that. And when we got this fax, I sent it to him because we also suspected that it might be a fake and that kind of thing. And he looked through it, he pointed out a couple of anomalies, but he was like, it could be totally genuine, but it could also be an incredibly elaborate forgery that you'd have to pay a very accomplished expert quite a significant amount of money in order to forge it that well. Okay? Now, Pete Santilli admits that his information was leaked. He admits that he was hacked. But what he says was that I love the logic here. Okay. I threaten Anonymous, and then Anonymous hacks me, and then leaks everything from my computer onto the internet. But they forge a fax that they stole from my computer, and then send a fake fax to the FBI with my name on it, and totally type it up themselves. His social security number got leaked. His driver's license, his address, everything that you could have needed to do the most incredible, nasty impersonations or exposés on this person. It was just there for us, you know. Anonymous contacted myself, and I had no idea who these people were, or they used fake names, and there were these secure private chats to get into. I couldn't identify them. They had their IPs masked. It was very cloak and dagger. And I was kind of like a little bit kind of like freaked out by this sort of thing. Like, what if I piss these people off? What if they come after me next? But luckily they haven't, and they didn't. And I'm now being contacted again by members of Anonymous who are offering things. And I'm just telling them, look, guys, I can't openly approve, encourage, or suggest that anybody commit any crimes. Okay? Even if it's against Pete Santilli. All right? Even if it's against him, I don't want anybody to commit any crimes. That said, I'm a journalist, and I have integrity. So if an anonymous source wishes to share information that they may not have acquired legally, I am bound by honor to protect my sources and not reveal who those people are or where they got their information from. And I would prefer that they don't share any such information like these, so I have plausible deniability on that. So we may or may not see more information leaked very soon by anonymous sources. I can't confirm that as yet. But yeah, man, he's a scary dude. He's a very scary dude.
All right. Well, anyway, I'm an old hacker. It's pretty clear when you watch what's going on in Oregon that... it's all like trying to start up something, just trying to set a fire, just trying to piss people off, just trying to start some gunfire. And, well, hopefully with that does not happen. Right.
There's something to be said, right? What was it? Andrew Jackson is getting up against the bankers long time ago. Is the number one president in the United States for my money, namely because he was the one who stood up against the bankers and didn't get assassinated. Now, the point that I'm making here is how he didn't get assassinated. An assassin came up to him with two single-shot pistols in broad daylight and fired them at him. Both of those pistols misfired. Okay, there are strange things that happen in this world where for some inexplicable reason, good triumphs over evil via some kind of fluke, be it magic, be it fate, whatever it is. I hope whatever forces are at work in this world that are on our side, that are on the side of good, that are on the side of the Constitution, on the side of the veterans, on the side of the people of the United States, of the people of the world, and freedom in and of itself, whatever beings or entities or any forces available can bring to bear, I hope that they do. I hope that they prevent any bloodshed. I hope that they stop these people from getting their way, because I know what will happen if they do get their way. I do not like the idea of a shooting war between patriots and the US government. I do not want to see veterans being killed in the streets.
Well, I appreciate that, because it seems like there are a lot of people that just, they want war. They want blood. It just seems like a lot of people out there, you know, because I watched the chat rooms beyond, you know, from one place to another, and they all want the bloodshed, and we don't need the bloodshed. Anyway, thank you, Vinny. I appreciate you, Jack, you know, jumping on here so we can get this information out there. And honestly, I'm tired and I'm going to bed, dude.
No worries. Have a good sleep, brother.
All right. Talk to you later, man. Bye.
Cheers.